Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess. The music you heard there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence by Shem Shai. And I want to just extend a welcome, whether you're joining us here for the first time or whether this is multiple times that you've come into the show and you've heard about us and listened to some of the previous shows. I do focus here on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you, if you've listened to the show before, you've had a chance to experience what that is and what that is about. And if you've just coming in for the first time, you can always go back to our archives, and that will also have shows where I've worked with that in the shows. I've authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. In addition, I created the Compassion Tour, and that's a multi-state nationwide tour that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. I have finished up the 2012 tour, but I am already working on the 2013 tour and looking to go into Canada with that tour. So looking to start kind of moving into a little more international instead of just in the U.S. And you can follow any of the events that are available to register for on the Compassion Tour by going to www.jessieannicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And you'll probably find that right at the bottom of the show description in there, right here on the main page. And also you'll see an option in there that is called Gifting the Tour. And I created this because I did have some requests from people who said, hey, I'd really like to support the work you're doing, and I want to help you get out to some of those fundraisers and help them out, because when I do the fundraisers on my tours, I actually give them 90% of what is brought in. So it's a huge amount. And that way, for people who aren't able to attend the events, they have a chance to still support the work that I'm doing. And here on the show of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives. I look at how to remove our blocks, our resistances, frustrations, and all kinds of things. Some weeks I discuss different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. Some weeks I do more exercises and practical implementations. A lot of times I have guests on the show, and I'm going to start having more and more guests back on the show soon. I'm in the process of lining some people up here. And also I highlight different musical artists along the way, as well as having nights that are just straight call-in intuitive coaching nights. So it's a little bit of everything here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And with the coaching nights, you can just call in with whatever questions you have. And remember that when you're sharing your experiences, you're really helping other people as well, because so many people are dealing with similar issues to what you're dealing with, or they know of people dealing with those issues. So when you share your information and I get a chance to work with you, then it's also helping other people in their situations and learn how to deal with them as well. And tonight's show, what we're going to be doing, it's all about leading a grateful life. I figured that's very appropriate since we've just passed through Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and many people start to focus on what it is to share some gratitude and to be grateful. And I'm going to be discussing a little about the role that gratitude plays in our life. I'm also going to be taking live callers tonight, and I noticed we've had somebody patiently waiting in our queues prior to the show starting, so we will be getting to you, or I will be getting to you, caller. And I may also work with the Genesis Clearing Statement if that seems appropriate with any of our callers. And if you have anything that you're wanting to get answers to, any blocks or challenges that you're wanting to get past, things that you're uncertain about, or breakthroughs that you're trying to make, You can call in on our live lines, and that number to call in on is 760-542-4345. You just press 1 to get into our caller queue. And I'll also be watching on the chat, so any of our chat people can also put questions in, and I can watch that and answer those questions as well. And then just a reminder, if you enjoy this show, make certain that you're telling your friends, family, significant others, Facebook buddies, whoever you feel inspired to share it with. They can always listen to the show in the archives, so that's really convenient, especially for those people who maybe it's pretty darn late and they're looking at going to bed instead of staying up on the show so they can catch those archives. And they'll just use the same link that you use to get into the show. Or they can also go to my page on Facebook that is facebook.com/activatingcompassion and click on the notes file, and I keep all the shows that we have archived or that I for Activating Compassion are archived in that folder there. So, and then before we get started here taking callers and getting into our topic tonight, I just want to take a moment to get into Yehuda Berg's work, which I like to start off the show every week on that, and that's from the 72 Names of God. And I just like to kind of just fumble through here a little bit and see what randomly comes up for a message. It seems like it's always appropriate. This is kind of a great little way of divination in a way when you can just take a book and kind of fumble through and close your eyes and think about what you want to know and then open the book up and just randomly put your finger on the page without looking and then open your eyes and look. And it's a great way to kind of get some insight or messages or answers when you're needing something really quick and you don't have access to getting them another way. And so we're doing that tonight. And what's coming up tonight from Yehuda? We have Dispelling Anger. That seems pretty appropriate considering it's Black Friday. And anybody who's out there doing their shopping or has been doing shopping, I'm sure they've dealt with a little bit of anger today in there. Seems appropriate. So with this message, what we have is, you may doubt that you've ever been an idol worshiper, but idol refers to more than statues of lions or bulls. An idol is an object, person, or situation that dominates your behavior. Anger is a sign that you are in idol worshiping mode. Okay, to some degree, everyone is vulnerable to idol worship, whether through the pursuit of fame or the veneration of wealth and power. We rever images, especially the self-image we feel we must project to others. And I think that's a really interesting concept there because we oftentimes don't think about how we're actually worshiping our self-image and how we're overly concerned with what we're projecting to other people or what other people are thinking of us. Now, it goes on to say, the most blatant form of idolatry, according to Kabbalah, is anger. Something external is controlling our emotions and reactions. When a computer crashes, losing our important files, and we erupt in anger, we have just bowed down before a silicon idol. When a car cuts us off on the freeway and we curse with rage, we are idolizing a metallic god. When we lose our temper with our spouse or children and cause them undue pain, we are worshiping an idol of darkness. When we devote ourselves to idols, allowing external situations or other people to instigate anger and rage within us, we sever our connection to the light. This is a big mistake, since the light is the true source for the fulfillment of our deepest desires. And this is such an interesting thing, I feel, because this is a different perspective on how we view idols and how we view what we're worshiping. We're not used to thinking of it that way, that anything external of ourselves that we allow ourselves to react to, that we allow to come up and take hold of us and cause this anger reaction really is showing us a place where we're worshiping or where we're being materialistic or misplacing our focus. And as I talk about a lot of my work with compassion, that the fulfillment comes from being connected to the light. So only when we have that disconnect do we end up finding ourselves unfulfilled and getting into these spirals and these negative spaces. And it goes on to say that by using the name of this form of God or this name of God, that you can remove the power and allure of the world's controlling idols by invoking the power of this name. Anger is purged from your heart. Your happiness and peace of mind are generated from within. And the way the name goes for dispelling anger is Pei Vav Yud. Pei Vav Yud. So when we feel ourselves getting angry, we can call upon that name of God, Pei Vav Yud, and that will help bring us back into a space of peace and help us to let go of that anger. Okay, great. So I really love working with that book. Yehuda's got just such a wealth of wisdom there. Now, I do see that I've got somebody on the phone line here tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and take this caller before I go into other things that I have because they've been so patiently waiting. And this caller's from 229 area code. All right. And 229, you are live on the air.
Hi. Thank you, ma'am, for taking my call.
Yes. And what can I help you with?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to see, can I get a general reading tonight?
General reading. Okay. So nothing specific. We're just kind of taking a general focus on things, right?
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, great. And what's your first name?
Melvin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just taking a look here, taking a minute to see what we have coming up for you and what's going on and see what's happening here. Now, have you been trying to make any new beginnings lately, Melvin?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
Okay. Because what I'm sensing is I'm seeing these new beginnings around you, but at the same time, I'm seeing maybe some disappointment or some frustration related to those new beginnings, kind of like what I would normally see with people when they're putting a lot of effort out there but maybe not getting the results that they're hoping for.
Yes, that's
what's happening?
Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am. In two areas of my life, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very tough area, and sometimes we have to look at that and see, you know, there's a couple of reasons why things don't come through as quickly as we want them to or when we want them to when we're putting forth effort. And one of them can be, and a very common one, is the timing just may not be quite right for it to happen.
Right.
And the other thing is, we don't have all the information that we need just yet in order for that thing to happen. So there's something that we're missing, something that we need to know or to learn before that can come through. And I think that that's a big piece of the puzzle, both of those right there. So instead of getting frustrated, what we want to do is start asking God or the spirit or the universe, whatever term you like to use, and say, okay, I need some help because I don't know what I'm missing or I don't know what I need to know before this can happen. You know, what do I need to learn before this can happen? And if you kind of just pose on that, then you'll get your answers. That they'll start showing up. Like you might have something come up on the TV set or you might have something that shows up in a magazine or something will come up in a conversation and you'll get your answers for it. You'll realize, oh, yeah, I do need to know that, right?
Right, yes.
It'd be kind of like if I went out and I said, okay, I'm going to go tour and I'm going to go present workshops, but then I never put together like a press release, or I don't put together an email to send somebody to ask them if I could use their space.
That's so true, yeah.
So it's about taking those steps. Now, I feel like, too, it's going to take time to develop some of these new ventures to where they're going to be prosperous or working for you. And I'm seeing that your intuition is really going to start increasing in about 1 to 2 months here.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pay extra attention to any dreams that you're having. You want to pay attention to any gut instincts that you're getting, like if you get little twinges like in your solar plexus, or if you get a little warming in your heart area, things like that. Those are usually signs to us. And
mm-hmm.
And like in the solar plexus, for example, when we have something that's kind of good that we should be following or taking a closer look at, it's like getting those butterflies. But when it's something that we need to let go of or isn't quite right for us, then what it's doing is it's almost more like somebody punched you in the stomach.
Right.
So you want to pay attention to those signs when you're talking with people, when you're getting information, things like that. Okay?
Okay. Do you see any change in my finances coming up?
You know, I'm not seeing something in the immediate future, but I do see a slow and steady progress that will be happening with them. So finances are going to take a little bit longer to turn around. Now, I feel like if you continue to get active in asking those questions, like we were talking about, asking those questions of what do I need to know, what am I missing, those sorts of things, you could certainly bump that time frame up, because right now I'm feeling like we're more out in that 4 to 6 month range, because I'm not seeing the big improvements in the next 3 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if you actively get in there, and this is where we have choices. I don't like people to get too hung up on dates and time frames, okay, because we always have choices that we can make that can speed something up or slow it down, right?
Yeah.
So it's
right.
Kind of like, let's say somebody told you, oh, you're going to have a job in 2 months, but then you stop putting out applications. Well, it's probably going to take longer than 2 months if you're not putting in applications. But
that's true.
But if you get out there and you go, oh, I'm going to have a job in 2 months, and then you double the amount of applications you're sending out, well, it's very likely you could have a job in a month.
Right.
So that's where it's kind of up to you how soon things start happening.
Okay. I have a friend that was staying with me, but she left, and she's been gone for about 3 weeks now. Do you see any connection with us getting back together, moving back in?
Okay. And I'm just going to see what I can find out there from her side.
Okay.
Now, I feel like this relationship can come back together. Matter of fact, it looks like it's very probable that the two of you will come back together. What I'm seeing on her part is I'm seeing fear of commitment, because I have a lot of fear that's coming up, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of tension coming up around her. And it's almost like she was getting close, she was feeling everything, but then she started thinking, do I actually want to be committed to anybody? You know, do I want to feel tied down like that? And I feel like she's working on making some of her own personal breakthroughs right now, where she's feeling a little let down or a little disappointed by the universe or by God. And so I think with her, it's a matter of patience. It's a matter of giving her a comfort zone. When you do come back together, I would encourage her to be able to do things on her own instead of just with you.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because the more she can maintain her own identity in the relationship, the stronger the relationship is going to be. So usually a lot of times what is involved with people leaving in a relationship is because they've lost connection with themselves.
Hmm.
You know, they've given so much to the relationship that they're disconnected from themselves. And that's kind of what I feel has happened with her. Now, I do sense that she has feelings for you. I do sense that she has a connection with you. And I do sense that she wants things to work.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of giving her a little space, but letting her know that you're there and the door is open and you're welcoming.
Right. Is there a time frame with her contacting me?
You know, I could easily see the two of you back together by the end of the year. You know, as far as just specifically general contact, it's a little hard. I'm not getting a clear gauge on that. But I think there's a very good chance that the two of you will be talking, communicating, spending time together anywhere, I would say, in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay. Man. Really do love the young lady.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know, when we look at that and we have a lot of love going for somebody, and then it's hard when they're feeling confused or anxious or things like that. So that's when we have to just sit back and be patient and let them know, hey, I'm just happy to have some time with you.
Yeah,
you know, you don't. Yeah. It's good to let them know that you care and that you love them, but at the same time, it's also important to sit back a little bit and go, okay, and just appreciate that moment, be in that moment.
Yeah, because I would love for her to be back before Christmas. We can spend the holidays together.
I think that's a very good thing, and I think as long as that communication comes back around, I kind of have my own little superstitions that it's important to be with somebody that you love over New Year's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I have that as well. I mean, she can spend, you know, time with me during the holidays before, but she's been staying with me off and on, you know. We met each other in school, in college.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and we've been friends over maybe 3.5 years, not quite 4 years yet. But I do care for her, and I told her, yeah, I do. And
well, and just give her that space, and I feel like she really will come through for you.
Okay, because she tells me that she doesn't see me in that way like I see her, and I'm not her type, and she's not in love with me. Is that something she's saying to get away from that feeling? Or is she just telling the truth? She really don't love me.
Well, and I think there's some confusing things in there, because I think sometimes if somebody's not completely ready for a relationship or ready to make a full commitment, that can come out. And sometimes that is true, that is what they're feeling.
Right.
Sometimes those things will be said just because they're feeling scared about making that bigger commitment. No matter what it is, which angle of it is, it's just important to accept what they're offering and to say, okay, if that's where it's at, then that's fine. You know, and to be okay and say, that's okay, you know, if we can still be friends, that's great, things like that. But we have to respect those boundaries of what they're asking, because no matter what the reason is, they're needing to have that bit of separation. And the more we can respect that and give somebody that space, the more likely they are to open up if there are true feelings there.
Right. So it's a great possibility that we may have a long-term relationship and maybe a marriage or something.
You know, it's hard to say. I don't like to jump the gun too much in there, but I think there's potential there, but you've got to let her come to you a little bit in this situation,
right.
And it's got to be comfortable for her. So if she's feeling like she's trying to have a friendship and to start with a friendship and you're wanting more than that, if you start pouring too many feelings on, it's going to overwhelm her and she's going to pull back.
Yeah, yeah. She does that, exactly. She does it. She leaves. She just cut me off. When I say, mention the word love, she just, like, it was, like I said, not love. So I don't know.
and again, that's
the opposite, you know, like, I say, I do love you, and then it push her away.
Mm-hmm. And it's so you're in one space where you're very comfortable. She's in a different space, and she hasn't hit that same comfort zone.
Right.
So when you have people that are in those different spaces, you've got to respect the person who isn't there yet. You've got to just make it more casual and more laid back.
Right.
And then let them kind of bring up the indications that there's something more, you know, let them make those initiatives.
Okay. I hope it's her.
And if it's not her for some reason, there will be somebody else just as wonderful or more wonderful come along that will fit you even better if it's not her.
You see that happening, someone else coming along?
Well, there's always somebody else that will come along if one relationship doesn't work out, there will always be somebody else come along.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
So it's more important in a situation to really open to love and to say, mm-hmm. you know, if this is this truly a relationship that I'm meant to be in for love, then let me have the patience to help that person meet me in that space. And if it's not a relationship of love, then bring me a relationship that is love.
Right.
So keeping your focus on having that love or loving relationship in your life.
Yeah, okay. Man.
Okay, because you want that to be your number one focus as opposed to the individual. Kind of like we were talking about at the beginning of the show with Yehuda's message of, and this happens a lot in relationships where we idolize somebody.
Yeah.
And then we end up with struggles and disappointments and everything because we've shifted our focus away from love.
Yeah. Because I called her job, wanted to surprise her and speak to her, but the lady said she wasn't there, but the way the lady said it, like she doesn't work there anymore. And I haven't spoken with her. I just hope she hasn't lost her job yet, her job at all. Do you see her losing her job? I mean, I've lost her job?
You know, I'm not sure. I do see a lot of shift and a lot of transition around her, but I'm not getting anything specific to her job on there.
Okay.
You know, here again, either way, you've got to kind of let her come to you a little bit more. And there's a lot of women that don't like to be interrupted at their job.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, just be patient with that and just keep your focus on love.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless.
You're welcome. You have a great evening.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so I am seeing some other people start to enter in here. I see that we've got Mary Lou Hu in our chat area, and I just want to remind the people that are in our chat that you're more than welcome to type in questions, and I'll be happy to keep an eye on the chat area there, and I can also help you out through that. And then we're also going to be focusing on living a grateful life. That's our focus tonight. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to take a little bit of a break. I've got a song here by Shemshai called Great Mystery. And when we come back, we're going to delve into what living a grateful life is all about.
Forward with the dream.
welcome back. For those of you that are just joining us here, that was Great Mystery by Shem Shai. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and you're listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And we are here tonight. Our focus is living a grateful life. I was working with a caller a little bit earlier, so if you missed the first part of the show, you can go back and listen to that in our archives. It's right here at the same link that you joined in on. And moving on into our focus for the evening, when we live a grateful life, we are in tune with miracles happening daily and consistently in our life. And again, I do want to mention that if you're in chat and you have any questions or if you'd like to get a reading, I will be working with people that way also, and you're welcome to just type things in. Or if you have questions about anything that I'm saying, you're also welcome to either call in or type into the chat. And so moving on here, when we place ourselves in a direct alignment with spirit, God, or divine presence, when we are living in gratitude, so when we're in that space of gratitude, we're actually in alignment with spirit. When we're sitting there able to genuinely say, thank you so much for this opportunity, thank you so much for bringing this into my life, we are aligned with spirit. And when we get that alignment, it's like we have unlimited possibilities at that point. So there's a direct connection in our in how our life is and our ability to live in gratitude. So if you're having challenges in life, and, you know, I don't want you getting down on yourself or giving yourself a hard time or feeling disappointed or defeated because you're not living in gratitude as strongly as you may have thought you were. Our ability to live in gratitude is also directly related to our ability to receive. And ironically, as much as people say, but I want to receive this, I want to get this into my life, and yet they're not really in a space of receiving. So learning how to be in that space of receiving is very, very important when we're working with gratitude. And it's very important in order to allow things to be happening in our life and to remove the challenges from our life. So when we look at this concept, this is why somebody can be grateful but is still struggling with life or having the life that they're trying to obtain. Because they haven't quite learned how to receive yet. Now, there are many ways for us to implement living a grateful life. And we have being grateful for the gifts that we have been given. So like where I have, for example, intuitive gifts, that's one way for me to be grateful, is to appreciate those gifts and to work with them. If you are an intuitive person or an empathic person or good at working with or managing people, playing music, being creative, or whatever your gifts are, you want to take time to acknowledge those gifts and make sure that you're actively using them on a regular basis. Now, we also have being grateful for the things that are in our life. And this includes the situations, experiences, and the things that we do. And then thirdly, we also have being grateful for what others bring into our life. So this would be their personality, what they share with us, what we learn from them, and what we are like when we are around them. So it's like we had our guest on earlier that was calling in with questions, and he was mentioning this when he was around this person or this friend in his life, that he really has all these feelings of love. So taking a look at that, that's another area to be grateful for, to be grateful for a friend that makes us feel that way and that can fill us with those feelings of love. So no matter which area we are looking at, I've noticed that one of the most difficult things for people is to be grateful for the people and situations in their life that seem to be problems or difficulties. So that's where we get really stuck sometimes, because when we get challenged and we get frustrated by something or people are coming down and we feel like they're just constantly coming at us or they're trying to get us fired or things like that, it's really hard for people to stop and think, hey, that's a person and a situation that I need to be grateful for, because we're really thinking, doesn't feel so good. But what sometimes seems like a gift also in our life, so, you know, we have those challenges and those difficulties, which actually can be a blessing, but then also sometimes what seems like a gift can also turn out to feel like a source of stress or challenge in our life. And I'm sure that we've all had experiences along the way where we thought there was nothing to be grateful for, and that anybody who's hit like rock bottom in their life, and you hear those people or those friends, or maybe you've even experienced it where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it starts sounding like, what do they say? It starts sounding like a country song, right? You know, I lost my job, my girl left me, and the dog's gone, and you know, and everything's happening all at once, and you feel like, geez, what's left? What do I have to be grateful for in that situation? And anybody that's been in an explosive relationship also probably can relate to this, where they feel like, I don't know how to be grateful when I'm in this abusive relationship. It's interesting because there is always ways to be grateful, and I'm going to get into that. But I recently heard something that said about 97% of our thoughts are working against us. I mean, that's just like a phenomenal number right there. 97% of our thoughts are working against us. And mostly because our subconscious is filled with so many negative thoughts or thoughts that are working against us, telling us things like we can't do this, we don't have enough of that. You know, people that have listened to me speak before, they also know that the thoughts that are these negative thoughts are not truly our thoughts. So kind of grab that concept for a minute, that 97% of your thoughts, the ones that are negative and that are working against us, aren't actually our own thoughts. Pretty amazing thought pattern there, okay? So when we think about that, what if every negative thought was not your thought? That means that none of those actually exist. So it's a big concept to grab there. And you know, when we're doing that, it's hard to believe because our subconscious runs rampant all the time. I mean, how many of you have said, I don't have the money to do this, I don't have the resources, this person doesn't like me, I don't know if I'm ever going to find the person that I love, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to have a good relationship, I'm getting too old, things like this. This is all that negative programming. So 97% of our thoughts for the average person is there, which is why we need to take that conscious aspect and really turn it around and really grab hold on a conscious level to focus on gratitude. That's why it's so, so important. So if these negative thoughts that keep us from living a life, it's the negative thoughts that keep us from living a life of gratitude. And when we are in these negative thoughts, we're not living in gratefulness, okay? So it's really important that we put a stop to them when they're coming up. And every time you say, I can't make this work, or I don't have enough to do that, you're validating those negative thoughts, okay? You're stepping out of gratitude during that point. So what if instead you changed that and said, I am so grateful that I have the skills to find a solution and live the life that I will be happy with? Can you imagine how much different that sounds than I don't have the resources and I can't do this? Okay, it's just a matter of practicing and getting that down so that you're getting that aspect of, I am so grateful to have the skills to find a solution. Instead of saying, this situation sucks, I've got the skills to get out of it, and I'm able to live the life that I want to live. Okay? So that's when you can come back and say to Spirit or God, Universe, show me the way and let me see the solution that will create happiness. So instead of, again, letting ourselves get wrapped up into that negative space and that poor me, I'm a victim, I'm having problems, come back and say, show me the way to a better situation. Show me a way and let me see the solution that will create my happiness. Okay? Very, very powerful stuff there. Now remember that this may not always come in the form that we expect it to come in. So just because, let's say you're having financial issues and you're saying, Spirit, show me a solution, that doesn't mean all of a sudden Spirit's going to put somebody in your path that's going to walk and give you the winning lottery ticket and you know, you're a multi-billionaire and everything's taken care of. Okay, it may not work that way. I mean, it may. You might be that person that it works out that way for, but chances are Spirit may take us down a different path, and we may be thinking, oh, our house is going to be saved, or this is going to happen, or this money is miraculously going to appear out of thin air somewhere. In other words, really the path that might lead us to the best happiness might be letting go of something or releasing something. It's just like in these days where a lot of people are struggling with losing jobs. And they can either sit there and go, oh, my gosh, I've lost my job and I don't know what to do, or they can turn it around and say, this is an opportunity that's going to put me into something that I love doing more, okay? So it's about being open a little bit there. So, you know, again, another example, we might be thinking, show me how to keep my job. And in reality, you might actually be quite miserable at that job. And then you find yourself, you know, without a job. And on the surface, again, it seems like bad luck, and it's an easy way to, it's very easy to get down when you're in this space and start that downward spiral of my life is miserable and I'm never going to be able to get ahead, and all I have to, you know, I'll have to work until the day I die, and so on and so on. But what if you change that, and in that type of a situation, for example, said, thank you for giving me the opportunity to pursue my dreams or to find a job that I will be happier with. I mean, or maybe you say, thank you for making me available to take care of the things that I have been neglecting in my life. That's really powerful stuff. Because when we get into that space of gratitude and we say, thank you for this opportunity, thank you for making this shift that I wasn't willing to make on my own, okay, because that's usually what it is. If it's getting taken away from us, it's something that we needed to do that we weren't willing to do on our own. And when we're grateful for it, then the universe, God, Spirit, will start giving us more and more happiness. It will support us in pursuing our dreams, or it will support us in taking care of the things that we've been neglecting and give us opportunities that will not only provide for us, but will also allow us to take care of what we need to do. So when we look at this example, we're looking at a piece of living a grateful life that is about trusting the process. And this can be a really hard thing for a lot of people, because it's very hard to put yourself out there and trust. And we may not always know why we are being taken down a certain road or why something happens when it is happening, but then later on we see that it brought us to something better, okay? So let's say you get into a job that sounds great and it's a step up from what you've been doing, and then after being in the job a little bit, it starts feeling kind of like a living nightmare, okay? It's like you feel like people are kind of gunning for you a little bit. And I know I've been in that position, you know, plenty of times. And however, you know, because things are not working out, you start to come to this realization, you know what, this isn't even what I want to do. I want to be doing this other thing over here because that's what I really enjoy doing. So you get this realization, and then you start looking for another job, and while you're applying for other jobs in the area that you want to work in, you find that the experiences you just went through allowed you to be considered for things that you wouldn't have been considered for without those experiences. So, you know, sometimes what we're going through, it may not feel good at the time we're going through them, but there's usually something about that experience that is going to be valuable. So if we can step back and say, you know what, this doesn't feel really good, and it's okay to acknowledge that. It doesn't feel really good. However, I'm really, really grateful because it's showing me what I don't want to do, and it's putting me on the path of what I do want to do, and that's going to be better for everybody. Because when I'm a happy camper, the rest of the world's going to be a happy camper too, okay? Because it's going to get contagious there. My happiness is going to be contagious. Matter of fact, when you make that shift into that positive space, you have the opportunity to affect 10,000 people. It's pretty amazing. 10,000 people can be affected by your one shift. And they'll continue to affect other people, okay? So very, very powerful stuff. Now, the key is that when we are living or learning to live in gratitude, the painful times actually stop being painful. And we start getting opportunities that we wouldn't have dreamed of having. Or we discover something really wonderful along the way, such as someone that stands by us in that process, or that we have some personal strength or more personal strength than what we thought we had, or that now we can live for ourselves instead of living for everybody else. So imagine if you were truly grateful for everything in your life. Like, what if you stopped judging things as good or bad and just started being thankful for everyone and everyone in your life, or everything and everyone in your life? So could you imagine if, like, all throughout your day, it's like you got up and it's like, man, thank you for this day. It's incredible. It's like I've got this whole day ahead of me to do amazing things. And you go downstairs or you go to your kitchen and you fix breakfast and it's like, wow, thank you for this food. This is so great that I've got this food here to eat. And it sounds a little ridiculous. I know that. It sounds a little ridiculous when you get started with it. But when you get in that appreciation game, it's like you can start to feel yourself every time you say thank you for something that it feels really good. It's like your heart kind of opens up and you kind of get this little bit of light feeling in your body. And that's just an incredible feeling to have. And then let's say you go on through the day and you get in your car and it's like, thank you for letting me have this car so that I have a way to get to work or I have a way to go off there and connect with people during my day. And you get to your job and you say, I am so glad that I have a job. I'm so grateful that I have a place that I can come to work and earn the money that I need to make a living and pay my bills. And to do a little bit more than that. And the more we do this, the universe is going to keep responding, going, oh, you think that's good? Let me show you something better. That's really, really cool the way it works. So just, I mean, imagine that. Imagine, like, even that cranky boss, if you went into work and you had that cranky boss, and it's like, thank you for that cranky boss, because every time I see that cranky boss, that reminds me that I'm not going to treat people that same way, you know, or that just reminds me that I have a really great life because I'm not in so much pain that I'm being that way with other people. So it's a very powerful thing when you get into this gratitude, and more you get your mind there, it's like things just stop bothering you. They stop being painful. And it's like we become kind of magnetic in a way. And it just naturally starts drawing opportunities into our life. So the key is that in every moment of every day, we have a choice to be thankful for what we have and for what we have been through. Every moment, we have the power to create a wonderful life. Okay? It's a choice at every moment. as we put more and more of these moments together, we start creating wonderful experiences in our life. And the more wonderful experiences that we create in our life, the more wonderful people and areas of life that we have. And the more of this that we have, the more we have a wonderful life. Okay? It's probably starting to sound like a holiday movie, right? It's a wonderful life. But it's so very true. So it starts with the small things. You know, just like changing the world starts with us changing ourselves, okay? It starts with every moment we have a choice to be grateful. Every moment we have a choice to make that moment better. And that continues to grow and grow and grow, okay? Now, gratitude is very high on the vibrational scale, on the vibrational scales. So we want to remember that the higher we are on the vibrational scale, the fewer challenges that we deal with in life, okay? We learn our lessons, but we learn them easily. We don't have to go through pain to learn them. They simply don't enter that space, okay? So the challenges don't enter a high vibrational space. And if by chance any of them get in, they can't survive in that space. And what does get turned into, what does make it into that space gets turned into something enjoyable. So take a moment and think about that. You know, how would it feel if everything in your life was enjoyable? Okay? How would that feel if everything in your life is enjoyable? Okay. Pretty powerful stuff. And how would it be to enjoy everything that was happening in your life? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, could you imagine if you could just go through your day and you enjoy every thing that is in your day, and that happened day after day after day? Okay, we can do it. We have that choice. So gratitude is a big key to getting what we want in life. Okay, when we are ungrateful, or when we're ungrateful, that's when we oftentimes experience unpleasant things in our life. And we might not even be aware that we're being ungrateful. I think that's the case for a lot of times with people. We're not even aware that we're being ungrateful about something. But if we're experiencing unpleasant things in our life, somewhere we're being ungrateful. Okay? Gratefulness is a lot like a magnet. Okay? When we're grateful for what we have, for what has been in our life, and what is coming into our lives, it's like the side of the magnet that attracts. You know, it's like a really powerful magnet that attracts from a distance. And the more we are grateful, the more it attracts, the stronger that magnet is, and the more we'll attract things that we're grateful for, okay? And when we are ungrateful, it's like the side of the magnet that pushes everything away. I'm sure you've played with that at some point where you've had that magnet and you put it next to another one and it just keeps pushing it away. And everything, it just pushes everything away. So when we're ungrateful, that's what's happening. And basically what it's doing is it's making it impossible for us to connect with anything at that point. Okay? So that's the gratefulness or the ungratefulness. That's like the two sides of the magnet. When you're in gratefulness, you're going to attract all the wonderful stuff. Okay? When you're being ungrateful, it's going to repel everything from you and keep you from getting those resources that you want to have. So when we talk about becoming a receiver, you know, and really being able to embrace that receiving aspect, one of the easiest ways to get there is through gratitude. And we can also see this effect, for example, when someone says, "I hate having to pull these weeds in my yard," and then they end up losing their house and having a place where they don't have a yard to take care of. Or on the other side, they could say, "I really love having a beautiful yard without weeds," and then the weeds gradually just stop growing there. So it's kind of cool how that works. It's amazing how just shifting from those two spaces, as you can see, I hate having to pull weeds in my yard, is coming from a space of ungratefulness, whereas I really love having a beautiful yard without weeds is coming from a space of gratefulness. So that's a really interesting shift that we have in those two perspectives. So we have three aspects of life to focus on when we talk about gratitude. We have the past, we have the present, and we have the future. So when we are grateful for what has been in our life, it releases us from repeating unenjoyable patterns in our life, and it allows us to clear away what is holding us back. When we're grateful for what is in the present, it allows us to enter a space of acceptance and surrender, which places us in alignment with divine will. And divine will opens us to be able to receive the best of what life has to offer. When we are grateful in a future space, we are appreciating what is yet to come before it happens. And this is like having insurance or securing the deal, okay? This could be seen, for example, when someone says, "Thank you for giving me a ride to work tomorrow." Appreciation in that situation is being given before the action actually takes place. Okay. Now, let me give you an example of what life would be like if you fully lived in gratitude and trusting the process. Things would fall into place easily and quickly. You would always be exactly where you needed to be when you needed to be there. People would want to help you and be around you. Relationships would thrive, and your life would be abundant with love. There would be no worries of how things were going to work out. Successes would come daily and easily into your life. You would be happy and have a sense of feeling free to do what you wanted. You could create any lifestyle you choose for yourself. There would be no limitations or restrictions. You would enjoy giving and receiving to others. Unexpected blessings would constantly be showing up. And opportunities would come your way without you asking or seeking them out. Life becomes joyous and effortless. So really, really powerful stuff here. And I'm just going to check here because I see that I've got some typing going on in the chat room. And Mary Lou, no worries. She was just commenting that she doesn't see the screen too well to type without her reading glasses. It's okay, Mary Lou. I have to have mine on, too, most of the time. So those reading glasses, I thoroughly understand. No worries on that. So what we're going to do here is I think we'll take another little break here. And when we come back, I'm going to work with some exercises regarding gratefulness and being in that grateful space with our past, present, and future. And depending on how our time's doing, we'll do a little meditation. So this is going to be a little bit of a break. This song that I'm going to put on, also by Shimshai. And Shimshai is really a cool group. They're actually traveling all over the world right now. I met them a few years back in Arizona, and I was doing some work in Sedona, studying some different things there, and had the opportunity to connect with them and their music, and just really a fun, loving group of people to be with, real sincere hearts, and really just trying to elevate the world with their music. So this song is by Shimshai. It's called Deliverance, and we'll be back in a few minutes after this break.
Living in light, devotion, not the one. I hear your song, an ever-living word forever. reflection of the sun. I see your face in every living wonder of eternal grace. In everything I feel, a glimpse of what it is to be you. In longing to be near you, would I be a fool to fear you? For I am becoming as part of the whole. I have begun with an infinite role. As part of the journey as deep as yours. Deliverance in perfection of the way within your breath, ever flowing fountain of your holiness, and a pure connection to the source. I feel your pulse, the heartbeat of creation giving birth to truth. Give thanks for the power to give and receive.
Welcome back to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. I am your hostess here tonight. I do see we've got another caller in the queue, B. Diggs. I'm going to be getting to you in just a minute. I'm wrapping up a few things in relation to our discussion on having a life of gratefulness and how to live that. And we were talking about things before the show of looking at the past, present, and future aspects and ways to be grateful on that. And with that, it kind of reminded me, I was thinking during that song, I had a guest on a few weeks back on the show, and that was Teresa Paradis with Live and Let Live Farm Rescue in New Hampshire. And they do these amazing works. Matter of fact, they just did a rescue of 16 horses that they brought in over Thanksgiving. So they already had, I don't know, quite a few. It brings them up to something like 60 horses or something like that there, or they had 60 before the 16 coming in and things like that. But they operate 100% on volunteers there. And she was commenting during the interview I did on her how people just come in and they say, you know, I am so grateful to work for you. I'm so grateful to be able to come to work every day. And it kind of got to be this joke. And I see Simply Richard is in the chat room now, too. Hello, Simply Richard. I see you there. And so it was kind of funny how she says it just every day she gets this, and she gets this aspect of people going, I'm just so happy to be able to come to work for you. And that was kind of shortly after I started this show, and Daniel was in the chat room, and I remember going, Daniel, I'm so grateful to be working for you here. And so it's one of those things, again, being in that space of gratitude. I see also Bob has jumped in as well to the chat room. Welcome, Bob. So we're just finishing up again with some work we were doing with being grateful, and we were looking at needing to be grateful for our past, our present, and our future, and that when we're grateful for our past, that it actually helps us release things so that we're not repeating patterns. And when we are grateful for the present moment, that it allows us to enter a space of acceptance and surrender where it makes everything possible and that aligns us with divine will. And then it also, when we are grateful for the future space, we're appreciating what is yet to be or what is coming into our life or what is happening before it actually gets to us. So here are some things that we can state. And what you can do is I'm going to say these, and then you can kind of say them to yourself afterwards. But here's a couple of phrases that you can use in order to start working with being grateful for the past. I am grateful for all the people that have been in my life and the lessons I have learned from them. I am grateful for all of the experiences I have had in my life, as they are creating me to be more amazing than I could have imagined. I am grateful for the gifts that I have had and have been able to share with others. Okay, so this kind of covers everything that we were talking about, and if you missed the early part of the show, you could just jump into the archives and listen to it. Now, when we move into the present, we look at being grateful for things in the present. Here are a few phrases that you can work with. I am grateful for everyone that is in my life, for the lessons that they are giving me. I am grateful for the experiences and situations in my life, for they are helping me to learn about myself and the direction I want to go. I am grateful for the gifts that I have that see me through each and every day. Okay, some pretty powerful stuff we have here. Now, working with our future space, here are some phrases you can use. I am grateful for the many wonderful people entering my life that will be great resources, friends, and blessings to me. I am grateful for the experiences that are coming my way and show me how truly blessed I am and how enjoyable life is meant to be. I am grateful for the gifts that are developing within me, for they will allow me to create an amazing life for myself and others. Now, one of the things you'll notice when I did those future statements there is that I made them also all present. So I'm doing two things. I'm being grateful for what is yet to come into my life, but I'm also placing it in the present moment as if it's already happening. And that's a very, very big key when we're working with affirmations or you're creating affirmations for something to come into your life, is you want to phrase it in a way so that it's already with you, okay? So thank you for everything that's coming. Thank you as if it's already here, right? Thank you for these things that are developing. That's a present tense. Okay, so really, really good statements there to work with. I'm going to jump in, and for those people that just jumped into our chat, you're welcome to type questions and things into chat. I'm going to get on the phone here. I've got V. Diggs, and this person will have to give us their first name so the rest of our listeners out there know who you are. Welcome. You're live on the air.
Hi, my name's Veronica.
Hi, Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
What can I help you with tonight?
Well, I was just kind of listening in. I don't know what kind of questions we can ask in this particular show.
You can ask whatever you want.
Okay, we can ask about relationship questions, like.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I have a best friend. We've been friends for a while. It's a guy. And we did try dating like a year ago, and it was kind of short-lived, but we just jumped back to being best friends. But he's kind of seeming like he's moving forward towards me again, which I'm up for, but I'm not sure if I'm misinterpreting or, you know, my analytical mind's working.
Okay. So kind of like you think that's where he's going, but it's not totally clear to you.
Right.
Sort of thing. And mm-hmm. And this is interesting. This is something that we see, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us tonight, because so many people try to play this guessing game with people in their life, and it's like, well, I think this is what's going on. I think this is what's happening, instead of really finding out and really making those communications. And it's, we live in a society where people do a lot of texting, and they do a lot of different things. And we also deal with a lot of people who are just shy, you know, mm-hmm. and so they're afraid to come out and say something because they think, well, if I say something, is that going to push that person away?
Right.
And that does happen a lot, too, where we get people that are getting, you know, they pull away as soon as somebody says, I love you, or I really care about you and I want to be closer.
Mm-hmm.
So simply Richard in our chat room, you probably see him there, is saying, just ask him. But on the other hand, I appreciate that, simply Richard, because I do always appreciate just being very upfront and direct.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there are a lot of men that would take off running if you go, well, do you love me? Are you going to make a commitment?
Yeah, the pressure, it's like a pressure type thing. Even when they do feel it, it overwhelms them. And I know how he is because he's been my best friend for 6 years, and I've even seen him in relationships because we were just platonic best friends. So I know how that works. So I wouldn't say that. So I agree with what Richard's saying, where it's like, just ask. But in this particular case, it's probably not best to do that and just kind of give it time and allow him to do it. Because he'll do it eventually if he is actually interested. You don't want to ask him, though.
But he's saying men are not complicated, but if you're just friends, you nothing to lose, everything to gain. And I do see where Richard's coming from and things like that. But, again, there are a lot of guys out there that will not accept that directness.
Exactly.
Now, when I'm looking at things and I'm tuning in intuitively, Veronica, I do feel like he's been doing a lot of deep thinking about your connection and your friendship, and I do feel like he is moving more and more into wanting that harmony and wanting that space. Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like he is looking for that relationship type connection again. So I think you're right in not assuming anything too much so that he can come out with it as he's comfortable with it, but allow him to have more intimate settings when you get together.
Okay.
You know, allow him, like if you go out to a restaurant, allow it to be a more intimate setting.
Okay.
Okay. Or do something that gives you a chance to do some talking and some bonding. I mean, these can be different things like just chilling out. Well, this time of year, it's kind of hard to think about picnics or things like that, but going for walks, you know, things like that, that give you those opportunities.
Okay.
So, be open to let him do that and let him know. You know, the biggest thing, too, is that you want to be clear that you're okay in receiving that.
Okay.
And, you know, you do that by kind of opening that door. Sometimes it's good just to give, like, two or three choices. If he's saying, well, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, I would like to, you know, we could go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we can go someplace that we can do some stargazing.
Okay.
Whatever options, you know, are appropriate to your area.
Okay.
And I see Richard typing in there again. It's true, I would say 90% of men are not complicated.
And I'm responding back to him. Let me just be clear, and let me just get straight to the point. Even though I'm asking for advice in this situation, I'm actually a therapist and an intuitive coach myself. And I talk to men, and men are complicated, especially if you've been hurt. So when it comes to a sensitive and hurtful situation, and it's going to cause you, or you have to become vulnerable now, that is not... So that's where the complex and complication comes in. As long as you're a human being on this earth, you are not that simple. That's just not true. And if you are that simple, then you really haven't experienced anything, and you really don't have much of a brain. And I'm not saying you don't, but I think this is a stereotype that many men have bought into because it's not manly for you guys to act in a certain way. And then also it's easier for you to do that because it's a block and it's a wall. So that's how you create that. So it's just not true, Richard. But I understand where you're coming from because that's the stereotype society has placed on us. That's all I want to say in response to that there.
So go back to what you were saying.
That's okay. And I think what happens is that, you know, from each perspective, we think our own perspective is very simple and uncomplicated. a lot of times, but we have to keep in mind that men and women kind of speak different languages.
Right.
And, yes, we could put it all down just like the whole universe. We can put it down and say it's all simple, but at the same time, there's a humongous amount of complexity in that simplicity.
Right, right.
And vice versa. So
Right. There,
you know, we do have those things, and it's kind of like saying, but this language is so easy to speak, and yet if you don't speak that language, it's not so easy to speak it.
Yeah.
So it's that same kind of a parallel in that situation.
Yeah.
And just like women respond differently to men and it confuses them, men respond differently to women and it confuses them.
Exactly.
And I work with both, and there are some tremendously romantic women or men who lay their hearts on the line, kind of like a guy I had on earlier in the night. And then there are other guys that are putting up that big old tough exterior to no end, and you got to break through that shell.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody's a little bit different, and it's a matter of learning to work with that individual in there. But I feel like he is moving back in that direction, Veronica.
Okay. And all right. So, and I feel like I'm making the right move with just being, I'm trying to let him just lead it, and that's why I don't want to ask him right now. Just let him come to me and say that.
And you can let somebody lead the situation, and then be willing to respond. So it comes down to, I'm sure as you know, as a therapist, providing affirmation and confidence. So men really have a desire to please us. So when we lay it on the line and say, this would make me really happy, or this would be great to do, it makes their life so simple.
Right.
Because it's like, that's all I need to do to make her happy.
Right.
So in that sense, yes, they are simple that way because, you know, you can, they just need to know what to do. And I think that's the biggest fear is that they're going to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, thank you very much. That's been helpful.
You're very welcome, Veronica. Thanks for calling in.
All right, no problem.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I've got another caller here in the queue that we're going to move to. And simply, Richard, I want to acknowledge you. You're right. We, you know, there are things, too, where we tend to overcomplicate things a lot of times. And it's a matter of learning who we're working with and where they're at certain points. Because sometimes you can have somebody who's very, very confident most of the time or in certain areas of their life, but then they get into, for example, relationships, and they're not as confident in relationships. That's a whole different area, and depending on their experiences, that can shift and change along the way. And just like when they get some positive experiences, and they might gain that confidence back even more. So it's kind of how we make it, and we have to learn how to simplify things in some ways, but we also have to realize that there's, you know, a lot more to the picture than what we're seeing. So it is important that we don't overanalyze things and we learn to get back in that present moment and go, hey, let's just enjoy the moment and let's get back to giving those affirmations and saying, you know, wow, I had an amazing day with you today. You know, I really enjoyed going out and doing this. And those are the types of things that basically everybody can appreciate in there. So, And Veronica is acknowledging, yes, we do overanalyze instead of following our hearts, and that does cause complications, and Richard's agreeing with that. So there we go. We've got an agreement of the sexes right there. And they're going on to say it's hard. Veronica's saying it's hard for me to get out of my head sometimes. And I think that's very true, and it can women do tend to do that. As much as we're emotional in nature, we tend to be very analytical in things. So getting out of our head and just kind of letting go and enjoying the moment. I'm going to move on to the next caller in our queue, and this person's calling in from area code 661, and you are live on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm here. I'm all right. I'm not doing too bad. I can't complain too much.
What do you have to be grateful for today?
I'm alive.
Well, see, there's
made
a good
money.
Start.
You're... Made some money.
You're making money. There you go. There you go. See, we're on the grateful path here. What can I help
guitar.
You with tonight?
Just, well, like everybody else, probably relationship stuff, you know. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. You know, this is so interesting because as the holidays come in, relationship things become such a big priority with people. And, you know, we really, it starts to hit us more. I think a lot of times the holidays bring out that aspect in us where we want to be with somebody. We want to have a special somebody in our life. And, you know, so these questions start coming up more and more, and we start thinking, well, if we don't have somebody, should there be somebody from our past? I think some of my listeners are going to be very happy to hear that my next set of books that are coming out, which I hope to get written this winter, are going to be on relationships. And it's going to be kind of based on decoding the sexes and partners and learning how to, you know, create those amazing relationships in your life. So, okay, are we talking, what do you want to know about relationships?
Well, it's funny you brought up the holidays. I mean, yesterday it was like, I mean, other than the Redskins beating the crap out of Dallas, I mean, it was like a pretty rough day, you know. I was just basically all alone all day long. It just made me think. Not that I really, usually I wouldn't mind that. Sometimes I actually prefer that, the way people are, but it was like yesterday I was just like, well, nah, here we go again, you know. And it's just like, it seems like such a, like you just, you know, we're talking about, it's just like such a game. I'm just so sick of playing it, and I've never been good at it, and I'm not getting any younger. It's just like kind of like, I don't know, I just kind of get tired of it and just feel like just saying, screw it, screw, you know, just wash your hands of the whole stupid thing sometimes. And, you know, it just gets frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, the one lady was talking about, you know, past experiences. I had a lot of really bad experiences with females, man. I mean, real, real bad ones, including like
mm-hmm.
getting poked in the eye, having money stolen, and cheated on with, like, half the town of Baltimore, I found out, you know. And then,
wow.
Yeah, another one tried to stab me 3 times, cheated on me, and just one after the other. It's just ridiculous. Those are the worst of the ones, but, I mean, just, you know, just feel like a total loser when it comes to that stuff. It's just so annoying, and, like, yesterday just kind of hit me a little bit. I'm honest. I'm man enough to, you know, to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a wimp. I'm a trained killer, to be honest with you. So I'm not a wimp for saying it.
Mm-hmm. So you said you're a trained killer?
Yeah.
Like a hitman type thing?
No. Well, you could say that. Former Marine,
okay. I've had other people tell me that, too. I've actually dealt with some people that have done that and referred to themselves that way. And
well, it's true. It's just the facts.
You know, we appreciate the people who are willing to go out there and put themselves on the lines to do that work. And I think society does not recognize the mental and the emotional trauma that's involved with doing that work. And so, first of all, let me say thank you for having put in your time doing that, even though I'm not a war person, but, you know, certainly you've been out there trying to defend our country. And it does. It sounds like you've had worse than the average experience, perhaps, if you've had people trying to stab you or things like that. That's just not a good success with women. And this is
a horror
this
story.
Is, yeah, horror
Total
story.
Horror
that's,
stories.
And
the funny thing about it, there's a common thread through it all, too. I'm a really decent guy. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good guy. I'm the best friend anybody could have. And any girl could do a lot worse than to get stuck with me. I mean, I know that. That's just the facts. But, you know, the common thread, they were all previously abused by some other jerks before they ever met me. And I was the only one that paid them any respect.
Wow.
You know, the one that poked me in the eye, she got raped when she was 4 years old by her own uncle repeatedly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is an important thing. You've actually identified a common thread in all of these people. And
mm-hmm.
so this is one of the things that comes up is that even though there are some people out there who probably would be the right person, and I'm not saying that you're not a good person or anything like that, but some people have that knack for turning people around. That's one of their gifts in this world, is they can take somebody who's been in those situations and turn them around so that they're not doing all these crazy things, being revengeful on the opposite sex and things like that. And some people don't have that gift. They just end up being the sort of scapegoat for it all, which is kind of where you're at with these women. And
yeah,
we have to,
and I don't like it.
We have to learn that we can't keep taking the same pattern and expect a different result. So part of your lesson is realizing, okay, as much as you want to care for these people and you could be there maybe as a friend, anybody who's been in that abusive situation is not the right person for you to date. Okay? And that's a tough thing to have to pull a line on or to draw a line on, but it's something that you need to do in order for you to get to a loving relationship. And we're all different. We all have different boundaries or things that we can deal with or not deal with. And so even though you can deal with it on a lot of levels, it doesn't allow you to have that relationship that you're looking for. So that's one of the first boundaries you've got to set for yourself, is to say, okay, I'm not dating any more women who have been through these abusive situations, because that doesn't work. Okay? And then what you want to do is you want to, again, set your boundaries, and this is what's acceptable to me. And it's kind of like somebody setting a boundary down saying, okay, here's the deal. You know, cheating's not an acceptable thing. You cheat, you're out the door. That's all there is to it.
That's the worst of it. I'd rather get my finger poked in my eye than have me cheated on.
Right, exactly. And so as you get stricter and stricter with those boundaries and you hold to those boundaries and you walk away and you say, okay, that's it. You know, there's no second chances in those situations, then eventually what you're doing is you're telling the universe, this is not acceptable, okay? This is not, I'm not going to take this. So what I'm going to do is go on to the next relationship. And so definitely there's those different things, and you have to decide and learn, you know, what type of woman is going to have that stability that's going to be there for you. And it's about lining out those characteristics and those qualities. Okay, I need somebody who's going to be honest. I need somebody who's going to be faithful. I need somebody who's going to be caring but not smothering. I need somebody who doesn't have issues of being abused in their past, these types of things. And that kind of becomes like a little checklist, for lack of better terminology, even though I don't believe, okay, it has to be a perfect match all the way along the way, but there are those deal breakers and those flexible areas. And as we kind of get clear in those things, then it makes it easier when we're meeting people. You know, are they in that deal breaker area? Because if they're in that area, it doesn't work. And one of the things that, you know, people forget about is you know, and I don't think you do this because of where you're coming from, but when they're looking at relationships, they stop and they think, well, you know, this person isn't happy in their marriage, but they're loving me. Well, let me tell you something. Chances are, if they've cheated on somebody else with you, they're going to cheat on you. So watching for those kind of patterns are really important to helping us find it. A lot of times people who you know, have learned some just basic life lessons. You know, they've been through some challenges and they've come through them and they've created some successes, are going to be a good choice for a partner. Okay? It's not about their life being perfect. They've been able to create successes from tough situations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing. I feel like somebody is coming in for you. I feel like there's somebody coming in probably around spring time, maybe late spring, early summer time frame. And just be open to it. In the meantime, some of the things that you're going to want to work on is right now you've developed a mental pattern that says, I only draw in these psychotic women, right? I only draw in women that are painful to me. And you want to change that and start working with the phrase of, I'm ready to receive love in my life. And my energy now only connects with those women who can provide and be in a loving relationship with me. So shifting that focus is going to be really important for you. Because when you get focused on, I only draw on these women who are not good for me, that drive me crazy, that have these issues, you're going to keep drawing in women like that. When you shift it and you shift your focus into, I'm now drawing in women that are different from my past and that are a good fit for me, you'll start drawing that in. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know. Part
so
of me
big,
wants just they screw them all.
It's a big change. So if we tie that into our concept tonight of being grateful, then what you want to do is say, start with some of the
phrases. I
got to
be honest, I'm not really too grateful for yesterday. I'm really kind of like just got a little bit, just like, well, it doesn't matter what I do, it's not never going to happen for me, is it?
And those are the patterns that we want to stop and change. Okay, I've learned lessons in my past, and I'm grateful for the lessons I've learned. They might not have been pleasant experiences, but I'm grateful for the lessons I've learned. And this was actually part of our discussion earlier, which you could always go back and catch in the archives. And then the other piece of it is saying, I'm grateful for the women who are out there that would be a good fit for me. I am grateful that there are women that can be in a loving relationship. And that will start to bring them into you. So instead of just, we're going to set the past behind and say, I'm grateful for all the women that used to be in my life, because they taught me about what I don't want. And I'm grateful for all the women who are waiting to come into my life and are ready to come into my life who are exactly what I want. Okay? So it's that shift of perspective. It's that shift of focus. So try working with that, okay?
All right.
It does come around and it does work, and there are amazing, wonderful women out there that are looking for a guy like you that they can connect with.
Sure
really
fooled
are.
Me. Seems like they all like the abusive guys.
No, there's a lot of women out there that are looking for exactly guys like you. And I hear from them a lot. So, ladies, if you're listening, there's a great guy here on the air. They will come. Trust me. They do come. They are out there.
guess. We'll see, huh?
And I believe that you are going to find one, but you've got to believe that you will find one. That's one of the big first steps, is you've got to believe that they exist. And you know they do, because there are people out there in happy relationships.
Right, because everybody else has one.
So now it's time for you to enjoy that too. So that tells you right there that it does happen, it does exist, and now you're ready to have the one that works for you.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess we'll see, huh? I guess we'll see.
So be in there with that gratitude. That gratitude can really manifest that for you. It's a big one. Okay. I want to thank you for calling in tonight, and I look forward to having an update on how things are going for you, okay?
All right. I could do that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hopefully it won't be next Thanksgiving.
No, I'm sure it's going to be much sooner than that.
I'm saying the update.
Okay. You have a great evening.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we are winding down here into the last few minutes of the show, and I see that Veronica and Richard have been having some really good conversation there, talking about astrology things. It looks like I've got some fellow Scorpios in there in the chat room tonight. Too bad you guys weren't on during my birthday show a couple of weeks ago. My goodness. So I'm going to wrap up a couple of things. And again, don't underestimate the power of gratefulness and being in gratitude. It can completely change your life. It can really turn around what appears to be negative, unworking situations into absolute blessings into your life. There is just so much out there, and these are part of the concepts that we work with, things that I'm going to be dealing with on the Compassion Tour 2013. I'm going to be having quite a few things that are going to be focused on relationships and dealing with relationships and creating the relationships that you want. That is going to be a big focus for me on the Compassion Tour 2013, and I'll keep you posted on things that are coming up on that, but you can always check and see when events are coming up by going to jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. If you'd like to find out more information about the work I'm doing with Compassion and the upcoming work on relationships, you can connect with me at facebook.com/activatingcompassion. You can also check out my blog at getyourblissontumblr.com or go to my website at bliss.freetsy.com, and that will be getting updated in the near future. All of this information is listed at the bottom of today's show description, as well as my email address if you want to contact me that way. My books are available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com for the paperback versions, and through Smashwords for an ebook version, including Kindle and PDF options. As a listener, either live or in the archives of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I am offering you the opportunity to take advantage of my unlimited email coaching at 90% off. And I'm also offering 75% off for the quantum energy work that has unlimited email coaching with it. In addition, just keep in mind that this is based on availability, and I only have a couple of slots available with the quantum work because it's very, very intensive work where I spend at least 1 hour per day focused on your needs, your desires, and the things that you're working on and trying to manifest in your life. It's very, very intense work. Also, don't forget that we have several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Wednesdays, usually we've got Daniel, Janice, and Brett looking in. They're doing different things, from having people that they're interviewing on and doing readings. Daniel oftentimes will throw some reading shows in. Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Evan is on with the Zariana Show. Kevin Baird has been doing some work with his walking on the sidewalk and his oracle there, which is a horizon oracle that he created. Really wonderful work. Again, my name is Jessie Ann Nichols George. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget that if you have enjoyed my show this evening, to share it with others. It will be available at the same link in our archives. I am going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, which is also called Over and Over by Shem Shai. And thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
If I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. Your spirit, your heart, still yearning. Beautiful lover.
time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for over and over. Life is your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll repeat it. One, two, another. The essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning. Next.